there hasn't been any direct effect on me so far. I guess culturally and socially, it's at the forefront of all of our minds, and I'm from the city, all of my family's in the city, so we do have that privilege of being a couple of hours removed at least, but the names that are listed off of towns that are affected, that's basically the childhood summer experience of my family, and a lot of Australian families were used to making that annual pilgrimage to those bush or beach towns.
And I mean, it seems that, you know, because Australia obviously has always had bushfires, but it seems that this time they're coming earlier, they're more out of control, and they seem to be burning in places where they haven't burned before.
Correct. In my limited scientific understanding, that's right on. It's a lot earlier. Ordinarily, they occur in January or February. It's a greater magnitude, and there are areas which traditionally haven't been touched by fire. We're off the back of an extensive drought, and I think the build-up of dry timber and dry material has helped fuel this, but the magnitude and the severity we haven't seen before, and there's been a lack of the rain, which usually helps curb it or cease it in some examples.
I mean, is it very emotional? You talked about places where you would have gone on holidays. Like, is it emotional to see those places going up in flames?
It is. My wife and myself went to one particular town, Mallacoota, in the far eastern point of my state of Victoria. We were there in September, and that was the town which made the news. Because it is so isolated and surrounded by forest and bushland, this town was basically encircled by flames, and the whole community, which swells from 1,000 residents to 7,000 or 8,000 tourists, the whole community had to be evacuated by the Navy. They were all down on the foreshore. So that's a special part of our history and our narrative. I am so far removed from people who actually live there, and I'm physically removed from Australia right now, but I'm sure going back there will have a greater impact.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have talked about the knock-on repercussions of tourism and people being afraid to maybe choose Australia as a tourist destination after this, and, you know, other things that people would be nervous of.
I'm not sure what impact it will have for the future. As I said, it's almost a cyclical journey for people to go to leave the cities to go to small towns for summer holidays, and that's part of the Australian narrative, to get in your car and have a summer holiday. Notwithstanding that, a lot of the towns which are affected, probably more so than the beach holidays, they are inland bush towns as well, which perhaps don't actually get the focus of the tourist dollar as well. So it's tragic to hear about them as well.
Yeah, and I mean, people had been saying that the chances of something like this happening were on the increase, you know, and there was criticism coming in now against Scott Morrison and his government in terms of not listening to those warnings and not heeding the fact that this, as you were saying, increased dry weather could potentially be so catastrophic.
That's right. There's a massive groundswell of a desire for change in environmental policies from the Australian people, but there is a significant remove between, I guess, what the Australian people want and the current Conservative government and previous governments as well. I think there's been a lack of proactive decision making. And I think the Prime Minister's complacency is starting to show on the international level.
I mean, there have been videos going out of people refusing to shake his hand and people just reacting very angrily to him coming out to visit, and people just feeling like either he doesn't care or he just doesn't take the problem seriously enough.
Yes, from what I've seen, again, at a distance, I think it was too little too late. It's a devastating time. It's emotional, and whether or not his immediate actions could have done anything for those people, but what was projected was himself on holiday in Hawaii when greater symbolic presences are needed in these times, and I think people really relate to that. And I think his discourse about the fire has tried to change in the last week or so, but I think it's too little too late. People have seen him as not seeing it as a priority immediately when they have been affected so greatly.
Yeah, and he's, you know, you're talking about the environmental change. He's been very slow on that, and, you know, very famously the video of him bringing the coal into Parliament and, you know, being very supportive of the coal industries have come back to haunt him, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. He's very much a Prime Minister who loves Australia, and part of his narrative is how great is this, how great are the Australian people, and that's, I guess, crystallising as a complacency about these issues when the people want more, and this might be the straw that breaks the camel's back, because he was voted in 2019 in a very surprising majority, but this might be the tangible change that removes him in the next election.
I mean, you know, will something positive come out of this from the point of view of people coming together and maybe trying to take action themselves, or, you know, coming together and demanding action, and that there will be some change, that it will be sort of the turning point, as you say, the straw that breaks the camel's back, that makes people start thinking, well, what kind of future do we want and what kind of world do we want?
I think so. In the Australian people, that is already there. They're like, the world over, there have been massive climate change rallies prior to these bushfires. The last few years, there have been demands on the government. There has been protest action against coal mines. There's been pushes for more renewables and so forth. So that, I think that's all been there on the ground, but in a political landscape, this might be what brings it home to him and his government. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it might even bring it home to the world as well. I mean, obviously there have been great climate disasters as well before, but this is the one that maybe has been so visual, you know, and it's just a very visceral image to see a country burning.
Absolutely. There's a real tangibility to that image. If you perhaps compare it to sea levels rising, it's very hard to see, but you've had everyone, celebrities from all around the world, not just Australians, having exhibitions, having fundraising concerts, big names who are looking at Australia and seeing this tangible impact, and it's something that you can't ignore. It's not the frog in the boiling water, which is slowly warming up like rising sea levels. This is actually, you know, a burning country.
Another very tragic part of the crisis was the loss of species. I think it's close on 1 billion animals died in the fires, and also potentially that species like koalas may be extinct now, maybe essentially extinct.
Yeah, I've seen some of those devastating images and stories as well. Again, that flora and fauna and nature is part of that Australian, not only landscape, but the narrative as well. So it's equally tragic, the losses that have occurred there, and I think time will only tell as to what that immediate impact will be. And as I said before, my wife and I were in Mallacoota, and the bird life there is so rich and so diverse. They had some shocking footage of all these parrots, really, really, I guess it's that tangible impact or image as well. Parrots who've just choked on the smoke, and mm-hmm. there's an expectation that birds can flee fire, but they can only go so far with such clouded smoke as well. There's these parrots dead on a beach. You know, it's a really devastating image.
Mm. Very, very visceral, very immediate, as you say. I mean, and, you know, of course, I mean, your wife is Irish. I mean, is there a temptation, or, you know, do you feel like you will build your life in Australia, or is there a temptation to think, you know, Australia's going to get progressively harder and harder to live in?
That's a work in progress. I haven't had that mindset at the moment, so I'm not sure what we do in that regard. I hadn't turned my mind to that, no.
Yeah. But yeah, you anticipate that hopefully it'll be a positive outcome and that things won't deteriorate further.
I hope so. I hope this really does spur into change something from those with the powers that can make bigger decisions so that these things are avoided or managed?